You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Black Ferns have garnered an amazing amount of engagement with the public and are raising the profile of women's rugby and consequently women's sport. This morning I spoke to Jennifer Curtin, who's an expert on the history of women's rugby union in Aotearoa. I started by asking what it is about the Black Ferns in this World Cup that has made them so iconic.
Sure, so I think the thing about the Black Ferns is I think we have to put it in perspective. So women's engagement with rugby union in New Zealand is not new. We've seen ebbs and flows before. So some of the first examples of women trying to put rugby teams together was in the 1890s, and then again in the 1920s, and then again in tournaments in the 1950s. And what was seen is like a collective amnesia, if you like, about those predecessors. So each time women play the game, they're like trailblazers and pioneers. And I think then we've started to see some shifts in the last decade, but women have still really had to battle to get recognition. I think that the amazing thing about this World Cup is partly it's because we're hosts, but partly there's just so much joy and enthusiasm amongst the team itself that is generating, and the games are so amazing in terms of, you know, excitement and prowess that they've generated an exceptional amount of engagement from perhaps pre-existing fans, but also a whole body of new fans have come on board. And that's really down to this particular team, but also that sort of historical work of, you know, almost like examples of activism in the rugby space by women who've just been so determined to play this game that's been historically, you know, attributed just to the masculine domain.
What kind of factors do you think need to be modified in order to maintain this reception to and rapport with the Black Ferns that the public have kind of developed this time around, as well as just women's sport in general? So what can we do, I guess, in short, to keep the momentum going and mitigate that kind of collective amnesia that you talked about?
I think, at least in terms of rugby, that the New Zealand Rugby Union, you know, the sort of governing body, probably needs to reflect a little bit more on the composition of its governance arrangements, like thinking beyond the need to have people, mostly men, who've played the game to be the only ones involved in the governance of the game. So opening up spaces on their board for more involvement from diverse communities of women, to bring that voice and expertise about what it is about the game as a whole, not just the technical elements. That will make it continue its momentum. So that's the first thing I would say, that to continue to invest financially in the game, but in a way that doesn't involve a narrative that pits it against the men's game. So we don't want conversations about, well, if we spend this much on the women's game, we're going to have to take it away from, you know, under 21 boys teams, or, you know, we don't want that kind of either-or binary understanding. We need to kind of reconceptualise this, I'll put in quotes, national game, which historically it's been, as being inclusive of all genders, so that the investment is spread, and not just in the high level, but thinking about growing the women's game at the grassroots level and involving communities of women more in that process.
That was me speaking to Jennifer Curtin about the impact of the Black Ferns on raising the profile of women's rugby.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.